it onto the stage. That's him, isn't it? That's my son. The uncracked walnut fell from Nanny Ogg's fingers and rolled onto the floor. She nodded. Berents turned a haggard, transparent face towards her.
What is he doing? What is he saying?
Nanny shook her head. The king listened with his mouth open as Tom John, lurching crabwise across the stage, launched into his major speech.
I think he's meant to be you, said Nanny distantly.
But I never walked like that. Why's he got a hump on his back? What's happened to his leg?
He listened some more and added in horrified tones,
And I certainly never did that. Or that.
Why is he saying I did that?
The look he gave Nanny was full of pleading. She shrugged. The king reached up, lifted off his spectral crown and examined it.
And it's my crown he's wearing. Look, this is it. And he's saying I did all those...
He paused for a moment to listen to the last couplet and added,
All right, maybe I did that. So I set fire to a few cottages, but everyone does that. It's good for the building industry anyway.
He put the ghostly crown back on his head.
Why is he saying all this about me?
He pleaded.
It's art, said Nanny. Is, what's name? Holds a mirror up to life.
Granny turned slowly in her seat to look at the audience. They were staring at the performance, their faces rapt. The words washed over them in the breathless air. This was real. This was more real even than reality. This was history. It might not be true, but that had nothing to do with it. Granny had never had much time for words. It was so insubstantial. Now she wished that she had found the time. Words were indeed insubstantial. They were as soft as water, but they were also as powerful as water, and now they were rushing over the audience, eroding the levees of veracity and carrying away the past.
That's us down there, she thought.
Everyone knows who we really are. But the things down there are what they'll remember. Three gibbering old baggages in pointy hats. All we've ever done, all we've ever been, won't exist any more. She looked at the ghost of the king.
Well, he'd be no worse than any other king. Oh, he might burn down the odd cottage every now and again in a sort of absent-minded way, but only when he was really angry about something, and he could give it up any time he liked.
Where he wounded the world, he left the kind of wounds that healed.
Whoever wrote this theatre knew about the uses of magic. Even I believe what's happening, and I know there's no truth in it.
This is art holding a mirror up to life. That's why everything is exactly the wrong way round.
We've lost. There is nothing we can do against this without becoming exactly what we aren't.
Nanny Ogg gave her a violent nudge in the ribs.
Did you hear that? She said. One of them said we put babbies in the cauldron. They've done a slander on me. I'm not sitting here and have them say we put babbies in the cauldron.
Granny grabbed her shawl as she tried to stand up.
Don't do anything, she hissed. It'll only make things worse.
Ditch delivered by a drab, they said. That'll be the young Millie Hipwood who didn't dare tell her mum and then went out gathering firewood. I was up all night with that one, Nanny muttered. Fine girl, she produced. It's a slander. What's a drab? She added.
Words, said Granny half to herself. That's all that's left. Words.
And now there's a man with a trumpet come on. What's he gonna do?
Oh, end of Act One, said Nanny.
The words won't be forgotten, thought Granny. They've got a power to them. They're damn good words, as words go. There was yet another rattle of thunder, which ended with the